Good morning. Welcome to Shepherd Drive. We're so glad that you're able to be with us this morning for virtual church. We so miss being together and we look forward to the time when we can be back here all together. But until then, we hope you'll feel really welcome with us.
And can we encourage you to access the service using the service playlist on the website? If you go to the homepage, you'll see a box there with a virtual service. If you click on that, it will do all the hard work for you. And do take a bit of time to look at our church website. As you do that, you'll see two things. Firstly, that our aim as a church is to share the word of God and the love of God and to introduce people to Jesus. And secondly, that we're a group of people from all different backgrounds and countries and situations, but united by what we believe to be most important, and that is knowing Jesus personally and living for him.
Everybody is welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Take care.
Well, good morning. It's so lovely to be able to, for you to be able to join with us today. Maybe it's your first time, and if that is the case, you're very welcome to be with us and join us with our virtual service here at Shepherd Drive Baptist Church. I suppose that at this point I should add that for some of you, this may be the last time you find yourself watching in this way, but more about that a little bit later. However, I do hope you are well and you are ready to both worship God and a little later hear his word spoken to us from one of the marks that we have within the fellowship as he speaks to us from God's word. Can I say that if you've got any questions or issues from what you have heard during our service today, or about what we believe as a church, and you want to know more, then please take a look at our website at sdbc.org.uk or get in contact with us via our website. We would love to hear from you and certainly help if we can with any questions you might have. I wanted to share with you that over the last week or so, I have found myself, and I know I'm not the only one with this, sneezing and rubbing my nose and kind of rubbing my eyes. Let me add, it's nothing to do with COVID, but it's the start of the symptoms that many suffer with when it comes to hay fever, which got me thinking, as annoying as its effects can be, it reminded me that it's all because we are at the start of a new season, and it happens, you know, every year round about this time, because we have moved into spring, and if you ask me, that is the most beautiful season that we have. The question is, how does this happen? Because it can't just happen by chance. We have these different seasons, and you would be right. In fact, it may not surprise you that this was all part of God's amazing plan that he had for this incredible world that we live in. In Genesis chapter 1, so not only the first book of the Bible, but the first chapter, we read these words. Then God said, "Let light appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs as mark that mark the seasons, days and years." You see, God had put in place seasons in his creation plan, and over the next few weeks we will see that burst of life and colour that I hope makes us maybe stop, reflect, maybe even question, and perhaps then acknowledge what an awesome God we come before. So with that, let us just for a few moments, in the quietness of wherever we might find ourselves, just pause for a moment and reflect on God's goodness to us, his love, his grace, but also that he is this creator God. And then afterwards, I shall pray to remember some of these things as well. Loving Father and Creator of all that we come and see before us today, we are deeply grateful that you are the Creator God. And as we look around us, we are amazed at your greatness and your majesty, that you have made all things. Nature around us speaks of your greatness. The vast expanse that we see before us in the skies, the mountains, the trees, the lakes, the streams, they all speak of your great design. And you have given us such beauty in the colours that we find, in the rainbows, in the beauty of the flowers and the fields. You know, words cannot adequately express the magnificence that you have created all around us. And we join in praise with the writer of the psalm that said, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So Lord, as we come before you now, may we show our love and our reverence for you, our Lord, as you care for us in such a remarkable way that we see this through creation. And we humbly give our praise and our thanks to you this day. So as we come before you now, may our eyes never fade in what we see right before us, pointing us to you as the Creator God, the God that holds everything in his hands. And may this amazing beauty help us praise and worship you, not only today, but in the coming days. Lord, we bring our thanks once again to you because you are full of love for us. And we see that in everything that is around us. And we pray this now in and through your name. Amen. Well, it's great to remind ourselves that God is the Creator God in all life. But as seasons come and go, as one year fades into the next, we see that God is the constant in all of this. He is the everlasting God. And we have that hope in both those good times, but also when we are feeling that we need his strength, when we go through those tough times, those difficult times. So let us sing of this with our opening hymn, Strength Will Rise, as we see God as the everlasting God that is able to help us in all things that we do, but also as we come before him and worship him today. So this week, it's not just going to be Sherry that is giving our children's talk, because I understand this morning that she is going to have some help from a number of our other group activities, from Diggers and JCB, as well as some of the leaders that are going to help her with this. So let's all see who might happen to pop out as they assist Sherry in our children's talk. Over to you.
I wonder how you remember things. So I have one of these, a diary, and I put everything in this. Things that are coming up that I need to remember, all my to-do lists, I put everything I need to get at the shops, everything goes in here because I so easily forget things. I wonder how you remember not things that are coming up, but things that happened in the past. I would guess that most of you have one or two of these in your houses. A photo album. This is actually the one from the day Pete and I got married. Now, in Bible times, God's people had different things to remember. And one very, very important thing that the people remembered each year was how God rescued them from Egypt. When they were slaves in Egypt, God rescued them and brought them out of slavery. And each year, God's people had a special meal called the Passover when they remembered that great rescue. When Jesus was on earth, he celebrated that Passover meal with his disciples. And he celebrated the meal just before he died. And when they all sat down together for this special Passover meal, Jesus said something really surprising. He said that from now on, they should have a special meal that doesn't remember the escape from Egypt and God's rescue there. They were to remember an even greater rescue, they were to
remember Jesus.
Jesus wanted his followers to meet regularly for a special meal when they remembered the great rescue that Jesus provided for them, to remember that on the cross, Jesus' body was broken so that they could be saved, that his blood was spilled so they could be rescued. So we call it communion or the Lord's Supper, and it is a special meal that kind of acts like a great big signpost saying,
remember Jesus.
I don't think that any of us will ever forget who Jesus is. But it is really easy to forget how special Jesus is and how important his rescue was for us. Sometimes when life gets hard and we are struggling a bit, we can focus on our problems and we forget how wonderful Jesus is and how much he has done for us. Sometimes when life is great and we're having a brilliant time, we can focus on those things and we forget the most important thing, which is Jesus and his rescue for us. Jesus knows that we struggle to remember sometimes, and so he has given us this very special meal to
remember Jesus.
I would love you to remember that Jesus has given us the Lord's Supper or communion as a special meal, as one of the most important ways we can
remember Jesus.
Remember Jesus.
Remember Jesus.
Remember Jesus.
Well, thank you, Sherry, and especially for all of those that helped you in this. So we come on to this week's notices. Well, you are all welcome to join in a time of coffee and chat. That will take place at 12:30 today. This, of course, will be via Zoom. Coffee, of course, is always optional. And I think Pete will be hosting that, so let's see how he gets on being able to sort out the breakout rooms. No pressure, of course, Pete, but I'm glad it's you that is doing that and not me. But there is an opportunity for us to have a great fellowship, as we would normally do after a service, but in the circumstances that is obviously not possible. So if you are able to join us, then please do so at 12:30. And just to add on that Pete is hosting because Simon and Christine are on holiday for a few more days this week. So if you've got anything urgent, please try and get hold of myself or Pete in regards to that. Later tonight, we have our monthly Sunday evening prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and again, that will be via Zoom. So if you would like to join us for a time of prayer, then you will be most welcome. What normal activities that we do have at this moment in time will take place. Digging Deeper for Women is planned for Tuesday morning, along with both the Tuesday and Wednesday evenings taking place a little bit later, giving us the opportunity via Zoom to look at today's passage and see what we can gain from it a little bit further. So that will be Tuesday morning for the ladies, and then Tuesday evening and Wednesday evening for those groups that meet at those times. And next week we are not, yes, you heard me right, not planning a virtual service as we have been so far this year, because next week we plan on having two socially distanced services, one at 9:30 and another at 11:30. And you can book this via the church website, or you can get in contact with Cheryl, who will be happy to place your bookings for you. And as they say, the lines are now open. I've always wanted to say that. But as well as a chance to physically meet, there will, of course, be guidelines that we will need to follow. But I'm sure that we will be happy to do this if it means that we'll be able to join once again in this way. Sadly, there still is no singing, but it is a start, isn't it? Can I also point out that this might be the first opportunity that you have had since this year to wear that new item that you had as a gift for Christmas, or maybe something that you purchased in the sales. So I'm thinking next week would be the perfect occasion to do so. So let's make it a special day for a number of reasons, just in case some of you weren't aware, it's also Mother's Day. But anyway, whether it's something new or not, we look very much forward to seeing you joining with us in that way. I'm also aware that some will not be able to do that. Understand that you may be shielding or just don't feel comfortable to return as yet. And next week, Gary will be recording a one-off message that will also be available. Alongside that, we plan to record next week's message on Sunday, the audio version, which will then be placed on our website sometime later that day. So if you want to keep up to date, you can, but you will just have to wait until that has been uploaded. The video of the message will form part of our virtual service, which will be available on YouTube, our YouTube channel, the following Sunday. Look, I hope that makes sense. If not, then it's just simply book next week online or with Cheryl, listen to Gary online or by CD, or listen to next week's message a little bit later online when it has been uploaded. I should also add that you can also book now for Sunday the 21st of March, as the lines are now open for that as well. Look, I got that in there twice, didn't I? We do plan to continue with coffee and chat via Zoom after the service next week, but this will be slightly later time to allow those who are at the 11:30 service to get home and, of course, put the kettle on. We're going to come to prayer in a few moments, and we're also going to remember GBM. It's one of our mission organizations that we support, both financially and also in prayer. And we pray for the ongoing work that is taking place both here in the UK but also abroad. Kevin is our GBM coordinator, who regularly updates us on the work. And if you're not on his emailing list, then please let us know and we will get him to add that to you so you can have regular updates for that. But let us come to God in prayer and remember some of these things that we've mentioned at this time. We give you thanks for so much that you do for us as our Lord and our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we thank you that we are able to find ourselves today worshipping you. And Lord, we thank you that your love never fades from us, even though we find that sometimes we can become distant and afar from you. But Lord, we thank you that no matter where we find ourselves, in a good or a difficult place, we do so knowing, no matter what we face, as your adopted children, and that is what we are, if we have asked you to be our Lord and our Savior, then we know that we do not face these times alone. We thank you that you are ready to hear and see our needs, even before we ask. And Lord, please help us to see your hand in all of this. Teach us and give us the strength that we need so that we can truly rest upon you. And Lord, as we plan to be able to come to church once again, we thank you that in all that is taking place in these next few weeks, Lord, we thank you that as we have seen the pandemic numbers fall, it has enabled us to feel that we are able to commence church as a physical place to come and worship you. Lord, we thank you for all of those that have received their jabs, and as we see the infection rates come down, Lord, again we thank you and bring before you all those that serve you in the caring industry, the NHS, in our homes, those that serve and help within family situations. Lord, we thank you that there are those that have been so dedicated in caring for so many over this past year in these ways. Lord, we would also pray for those that continue to feel so alone, many that just need to feel that sense of having somebody there with them. And Lord, we pray that they may have that real sense, feel that real expression of love and warmth as it is brought to maybe somebody around them that is able just to simply brighten up their day by a phone call or a visit, a doorstep visit. But Lord, we also pray that in this loneliness, people would also turn to you and realize that they are not alone. May they find great comfort in your words by hymns that they may recall and sing, but also in being able to pray to you. Lord, we thank you that we have so many avenues to be able to do this. And we pray that we may all experience that oneness with you in our life. Lord, we thank you that we will be able to meet soon, and we long to be able to do so, and we pray that we would feel your sense of continued hand in this as you watch over us and keep us safe. Lord, we would bring those within our church family at this time. Lord, those that are in great need, maybe through health, for themselves or for loved ones. As we have already prayed, maybe because there is that sense of loneliness or feeling somewhat under attack. It could be financial situations that they find difficult at this time, or relationships, work, whatever, Lord. You know their each and every one of our very situation, and we lovingly commit them to you in this way, knowing that you are a great God that can do great things. And Lord, we pray that this real sense of your Holy Spirit may just wrap around them at this time of need. Lord, we thank you for the work on the mission field that is taking place both here and further afield. Lord, we thank you for the organization of Grace Baptist's mission, for the resources that we have available to us via their website. And Lord, we just pray for Chris and Helen at this time as they serve you in Zambia. Lord, there is a video that is able to be seen, and we see their joy in being able to welcome back students as they serve to teach there in Zambia. For those students, we pray as they embark on this work that they may learn great things as you prepare them for service in your work in the coming years. And Lord, we just pray for ourselves now as we soon come to your word. We ask that we would be spoken to it by you. We pray that you will enable Mark to speak through your words, and that we will be greatly blessed and challenged by what it says to us. And Lord, we just want to thank you again for the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to die for us as sinners as we are. And may we be ever thankful for what it cost you in doing this. So Lord, hear our prayers now, we pray. Amen. To be saved from something that is life-changing is something that is going to stay with us for the rest of our life, isn't it? And our next song tells us that Jesus came to save us. He paid our price, the price of our debts, in other words, our sins. And in doing so, he became the Lord of my salvation, which is what we're now going to sing of in our next hymn. So join with me as we sing this together, and then Rachel will read to us today's Bible passage, and then after that Mark is then going to speak to us from God's word.
John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began."
Good morning, everybody. Nice to be here this morning, and look forward to meeting together very soon. Thank you, Rachel, for that reading. We're starting a mini-series in John 17 this week, and I've got the first five verses, which I think possibly are the very best five verses that you can speak from. I think just recently we've seen Mark and Anna have their new baby come along, and we recently heard as well about Dave and Joyce's granddaughter, and we were glad that the pregnancy went well. And it made me think about the whole build-up to a pregnancy, the planning and the preparation and so on, and then the big event when the baby is finally born, and all of the concerns and worries that were building up to this point actually culminate in the birth of this child. Well, in a way, as we come to John 17, it's a similar sort of thing. In fact, in verses 21 and 22 of the previous chapter, Jesus actually mentions giving birth. There'd been a whole what we call the upper room discourse, verses chapters 13 to 16, where Jesus spends time preparing his disciples for what is to come. And then we get to verse 1 of chapter 17, and Jesus says these words, "Father, the hour has come." It's like Jesus is praying to his Father in a kind of open letter prayer kind of way. You know, when you write a letter maybe to the press and you're writing it to one individual, but you want the press to print that letter because it's an open letter. You want everybody to know what you're saying. Well, Jesus' prayer here to the Father is an open letter prayer. And he wants us to hear what he's praying. He's introducing the big event, the culmination of his life's work on earth, the pinnacle of God's revelation of himself to mankind. This is what Jesus is praying about. What he says, first of all, is glorify your Son, that your Son may give glory back to you. Now, of course, God would glorify his Son when he raised him from the dead. That would be the ultimate glorification of himself and of his Son. But Jesus here is talking about something more. He's talking about even before he was raised from the dead. Jesus is saying, "Father, the hour has come." He's talking about his crucifixion. God is glorified when he is revealed. You can think about the whole razzmatazz of unveiling a new car, or maybe a new phone, The car maybe is kept under a wrap and the fanfare is blowing and eventually this car is revealed in all its glory. Well, what Jesus is doing is, by glorifying God, or rather in glorifying God, is to reveal God. I don't know what you think about when you think about God's glory. Maybe you think of creation. And so many, in particular, of the Psalms speak about creation. Maybe you think about the parting of the Red Sea when the Israelites went across the Red Sea. I've just been reading through some of the early chapters of the Bible, and we read about when the Israelites went into their own land, and we read of these wonderful military victories where God went ahead of them and gave them victories. I also read about the shining face of Moses. He would go into the tent of meeting and Moses would sit there with God. And he would come out from that tent and his face would be glowing because he'd met with God. You might think about the New Testament and the great company of angels that appeared to the shepherds when they announced the birth of Jesus. All of these things reveal something of his glory. But the real glory of God is his heart towards humanity. God's glory is who he is. It's what he's like. And to help us understand that, we can go all the way back to the second book of the Bible in Exodus 34. We read there about the Israelites sinning against God because Moses had gone up the mountain and they made for themselves a different god, a golden calf in fact, and bowed down and worshipped it. Moses came down and threw the stone tablets down, smashed them, and then he went back up the mountain after he dealt with the Israelites. And Moses said to God, "Show me your glory." God took Moses and he hid him behind a rock. And he said, "No one can see my glory. No one can see my face and live." And then God passed by and allowed Moses to simply see his back. Moses must have been amazed at that display of God's glory. But then God came and revealed his heart to him. And these verses are repeated so many more times and referred back to so many more times in the Old Testament. We read these verses in verses 5 to 7 of Exodus 34. "Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished.'" They're astounding words. As I said, they're often repeated in the Old Testament, but they're astounding because when you read the Old Testament in the light of these words, you constantly see their truth worked out in the way God deals with his people. It's easy to look at the Old Testament and see in there a God who is angry. But actually, when you read those verses and you look at the way God dealt with his people, you see they're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And then you come to the New Testament. And this description of God, of himself, puts on flesh. There's a verse later on in the New Testament where we read the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. When Jesus appeared, he appeared to reveal, and you remember what I said? For God to glorify himself, he's revealed. Jesus revealed the true heart of God. In a sense, he put on flesh what God had said to Moses all those years earlier on. So Jesus in John 17 and verse 1 says, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. His prayer is, God, make your words spoken to Moses in Exodus 34 put on flesh. Show people what you're really like by what I'm about to do as I'm nailed to the cross. He revealed the true heart of God, his love and justice, in an unquestionable way. And in doing that, the Lord Jesus brought glory to God and glory to himself. How did he do this? There's a danger of looking at the life and death of Jesus and sometimes completely miss the whole point. Many marvel at Jesus' teaching. We all do. His kindness, his wisdom, his compassion. We're blown away by the miracles that he performed when he was on earth. Some see his death as an example of self-sacrifice, maybe a tragedy, a miscarriage of justice. How did Jesus reveal the glory of the Godhead, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? How did he reveal a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness? Jesus gives the answer in verses 2 to 3, where very simply he speaks about himself giving eternal life. John 12 helps us understand what he meant. Jesus was contemplating his impending death. Now remember, this is just before he began that whole discourse with his disciples in the upper room. And he said these words, now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But for this very reason, I came. Father, bring glory to your name. And in response to those words, again, a prayer of Jesus to his Father, a voice came from heaven saying, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do it again. And the people around said, well, what is this voice that we've heard? Was it thunder, or was it a voice from God? And Jesus responded to those who heard the voice, and he said these words, and when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. You see, Jesus was being lifted up. When he used those words, lifted up there, he was speaking about his crucifixion. He used similar language earlier on in John chapter 3 and verse 14, where you remember he spoke to Nicodemus one night and he said, as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. Years ago, in that time of Moses, the people sinned, and snakes came and were biting, stinging these people so that they were dying. And they cried out to God, and God told Moses to make a bronze snake and stick it on a pole. And if anyone looked to that bronze snake, they wouldn't die from the snake bites. Jesus was saying, in just the same way, he was going to be lifted up. And whoever looked to him wouldn't die, but have eternal life. Jesus brought glory to the Godhead by becoming the means of our salvation, by giving us eternal life. So to what end? This passage also speaks about that. Why did Jesus lay down his life to bring us salvation? in verses 4 and 5, we could say, in a sense, Jesus is speaking about the restoration of glory. He says, bring me into the glory we had before the world began. For all eternity, God the Father had lavished his love on God the Son by God the Holy Spirit. You could say, in a sense, in heaven there was this perfect unity. There was this fellowship between God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, everything was created through him, that's through Jesus, and for him. Jesus brought glory to God by revealing the heart of God to us, sinners. Now Jesus' prayer is that he will return into that glory we shared before the world began. He was looking forward to the time when he was risen from the dead because he'd finished the work he came to do, and that glory that he had with God the Father was restored. In a sense, Jesus was returning to what we call, to use an old-fashioned word, the bosom of the Father, which gives us that sense of Jesus returning to that wonderful unity and fellowship with the Father. Other parts of the Bible talk about him sitting down at the right hand of God, because his work of providing our salvation was done. But Jesus' purpose was never only to come to earth to save us from our sin and then leave us on earth while he returned to the Father's side. To quote again a verse from Hebrews later on in the New Testament, we read, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. Jesus himself promised that he was going to prepare a place for us and that he would return so that we could be with him where he is. We are one day to share in that glory. One of the verses I seem to go back to again and again in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Well, the first three verses there, but in verse 2 we read these words, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know that we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that remarkable? Those who look to Jesus to save them will one day share in his glory. The ultimate goal of Jesus was to restore things to what they were meant to be. And part of that is to restore God's glory even in us. As Jesus stands here before the disciples or sits at that meal table at the Last Supper and he prays this open letter prayer to God and he introduced, the hour has come. Jesus here is speaking about the whole reason for him to come into the world. He was speaking about him coming to provide salvation for us so that eventually he would return to the Father, to the bosom of the Father, to prepare a place for us. And those of us who look to him find that salvation in him. Let me spend the last 5 minutes just applying what we've looked at. My first application is to ask you a question. How do you see God? We've talked about God's glory. What is your view of God? All the way back in that passage in the Old Testament that we were looking at in Exodus 34, God had come down on Mount Sinai to give his laws, and the whole mountain was trembling, and people were told not to go anywhere near it because if anybody touched the mountain, they would die, and so on. And we read that they were cowering from his presence. Maybe that's how you view God. Somebody to be pacified. Someone who you are terribly afraid of. Full of fear at his awesome power and majesty. The cross reveals to us the deep heart of God for humanity. It was always there. That's why God gave those words to Moses all those years earlier. The Lord, a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. But then you read through the Old Testament and maybe you fail to see that. Jesus came to put flesh on those words and to reveal to us the true heart of God. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, Paul says these words, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit." So when he adopted you as his own children, and then he says, "Now we call him Abba, Father." Abba is a very personal title for God, nearly like us saying Daddy. Jesus revealed God to us in such a way that we see the heart of God for sinners. And God invites us to share in the rights and privileges of children. That was the reason why Jesus came. And this prayer is the culmination of that of what Jesus came to do. So what response does this remarkable revelation of the heart of the heart of God towards us demand from us? Maybe a life of reverent service. Maybe great feats of self-sacrifice. Maybe an attempt to buy his favour, which is what we do if we say, well, I must be a better person, because hopefully by being a better person somehow I can earn God's favour towards me. They're the wrong response altogether. Just as the stricken Israelites, those who'd been bitten by those serpents, looked up to the bronze serpent and by doing so were healed, so our appropriate response to God's offer is to look to Jesus by faith. Very simply, very plainly, to look to Jesus and say, Jesus, only in you and through what you did on the cross, through the way you revealed to us the true heart of God, through the way you bore the guilt of my sin, can I be forgiven? But then there's one other application. And that has to do a little bit with a bank balance. You know, there are three states to your bank balance. Maybe yours is in a negative place. As a farmer, it seems as though my bank balance normally is in a negative place. Maybe it's balanced. Maybe you're just on zero and you keep it just about there on zero. Or maybe you're in credit and you're sitting comfortably knowing that you've got no financial concerns. Without Christ, our heavenly balance is negative. We have a debt which is simply too great to pay. And however hard we try, and however much we give to charity, however much we go to church, however much we pray, whatever we do, we can never pay that debt off. When we turn to Christ, When we look to him, like those Israelites looked to the serpent on the pole, and we trust him for forgiveness, that debt is wiped out. We owe nothing. For many Christians, that seems to be all they celebrate. Well, my sins are forgiven, and that's it. Well, that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. Don't get me wrong. But the true balance of the Christian's heavenly account is full and overflowing. You remember what I said? Jesus came so that we could become brothers and sisters with him, joined heirs with him, so that we can share in his glory. Imagine what those disciples felt when Jesus said to them, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you." Then he said, "I go there to prepare a place for you." And then he said, "I shall return to take you to be with me so that you can be with me where I am." I pray that you are one who knows that their heavenly bank balance is full of an overflowing. Not because of anything that you have done, but because you've looked to Jesus, knowing that he's done it all. Knowing that when he died on the cross, he revealed there the true heart of God, his desire to deal with our greatest need and to provide for us our eternal salvation. Let's be quiet for a moment or two as we think about that and pray about that, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you came to do. You didn't just simply pray that open letter prayer. You followed through. You didn't back away from what you knew you were about to face, but you went over the edge. You gave yourself for us so that we can know not just a bank balance that is balanced, but rather so that we can be blessed with every blessing in the spiritual realm. Thank you, Jesus, that you call us to be your brothers and sisters. May we each one put our trust in you. For your name's sake, amen. Now, our last song is one that I chose, by Stuart Townend, "Vagabonds." If you listen to the words of this song, look at them as the words come up. It's really an invitation to all to come and join in what Jesus has done for us. Thank you.